Flula Borg is a German actor, musician, comedian, YouTube personality, and DJ. Borg takes on the role of Javelin in the feature film The Suicide Squad. His character serves in the first team of Task Force X in the sequel to 2016 Suicide Squad. Flula's also teamed up with Reggie Watts and virtual DJs Ivan and Peter on a new dance release, Javelin Move Your Body, inspired by the movie's character. I'm Greg Bidet, listening to the Portland Podcast. Today's guest is Flula Borg and Portland-based art pop project Maine, who tell us all about their new EP, Leo Lib Bowl. In the first quarter of 2020, Flula released an audiobook. It was titled Wanderlust USA, an uber-curious guide to sassy American pastimes. We'll be chatting about that today, as well as Borg's celebrated podcast, Boom Time. Here's Flula on those two projects, The Suicide Squad, and much more today on the Portland Podcast.
Hello, hello. Is this Flula?
Yes, this is Flula. Hello.
Oh, hello, hello. How you doing? Good morning, good morning. Great to connect with you.
Good day to you. Yes, likewise. I know this has been many months in the makings, but hey, pandemics, man, let's do this.
Yes, you are back. You're back from your cave, apparently. Boom Time is back and back with a bang.
Well, thank you for saying bang. I was going to say a mild toot, but yes, bang sounds better.
You've interviewed some big, big names on the show. Weird Al Yankovic, that was a great interview. It seemed seamless. It seemed like you were old buddies.
Well, he's a genius. I think he knows more things about more things, including how to make anything sound good. So yes. All credit goes to Strange Albert.
Have you ever talked to Dr. Demento? You ever spoken to him or reached out to him? You should be on his show.
Oh, I would love that. I saw him once at a party and was too intimidated to speak to him. But this man, I mean, he's a legend. He's launched Weird Al and many other people's. Sadly, I can only name Weird Al because, as I said, I'm an idiot. But yes, I would love this.
Yeah, you should be on that show. We should be playing your songs because you've got so many, and many are on your album, Wanderlust USA. You didn't do too much promotion about this book, so I'm very excited to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful book. Really enjoyed it. And right at the end, you mentioned, I think in the postscript, that you actually met Sean Connery. Did this really happen? Is this really a thing?
Well, yeah. So number one, thank you for listening to the book. And, you know, I did not promote it because it occurred. I released it and then a pandemic occurred.
Yes.
And it felt very weird to try to promote anything while we were dealing with this. So
yeah, I understand.
That's why it like snuck under the radars. And so, okay, my parents tell me I met Sean Connery, so I believe them. And I was like six. And so I, you know, if you ask my parents, I've met Sean Connery. So I asked my parents and they said yes. So I tell you, yes, I did.
So these are the same parents that told you that your dog was abducted by aliens and you trust these people?
Excuse me. Yes. Were you there? Were you there? Okay. What happened?
Well, you know, these same parents that told you met Sean Connery also told you that your dog Xanadu was abducted by aliens. So you kind of sort of have to wonder, you know, how much truth is coming through the pipeline.
Don't
there.
Listen. You cannot throw the baby out with the galoshes, as we say. So we don't know. We are not certain what is real and what is not. Also, R.I.P. Sean Connery. Another thing that's so sad, yet we have these weird worlds with pandemics and politics. No, this just has gotten lost. How so sad. Anyway, please continue. Yes.
Was your dog Xanadu named after the Olivia Newton-John film and song?
Her full name was Xanadu von Buschleppen, and I do not know if the person that they purchased this Pucci from was loving that album, or if it just sounds like a very like regal, nice name for a poodle. Because Xanadu just sounds like, oh, yeah, poodle. Like, you would not name, like, a golden retriever Xanadu. That would be like Steve, you know?
Yeah, it's a name you're going to have to say with enthusiasm, and that's something you have in spades. And that's why I enjoyed the audiobook so much. You know what else I really like about your audiobook is your references. Boss Me Around like Tony Danza. And you got some Ferris Bueller references too. It's definitely a Gen X friendly. And where I think the audiobook really shines is your visit to Mississippi.
Oh,
You have,
yes.
yes, it's a different, it's almost a different world, Mississippi. I've spent a lot of time there.
You have spent some time there.
Yes, I have
Oh,
a lot of
tell
time in the
me.
South. Yes, Biloxi, Mississippi, and you have a very awkward transaction with someone selling Elvis merchandise. I think that Wonderlust USA could be a podcast on its own because that transaction was probably, I had to stop the audiobook at that point. I was laughing too hard. A few awkward moments, but that's where the audiobook really shines, I feel.
Oh, thank you very much. I mean, really, it is, meeting people that are just, who you meet in the real world. And those are people that I think are usually the most funny and the most entertaining and the most strange because, wait, these are not like faking things. These are real people. This is not like, whatever movie or show. It's like, oh, this is a real time. So I love that. And wait, sorry, you said you were in Mississippi. You lived there for a little bit?
Well, I ex-military, so it's a hard sell. You have another
Was.
great awkward moment in Roswell that you chronicle in
Yes.
Wonderlust USA, which I think should be a podcast on its own right.
Thank you.
Yes. You have an experience in Roswell with an alien, a Klingon.
Well, yes, it was a very weird time, as you heard, and it was an adventure that I sometimes wish I had the man in black, a ballpoint pen that you point at your face and then everything goes away, because that would make life so much simpler. But yes, it was a weird adventure there, I must tell you. And as you said before, Xanadu did play some roles in all of this.
Yes, and you even actually had your team there set up a very awkward date that I think sets a record for you for dates. This is very like a 30-second date, and it's all caught on audio.
Yes, it was, awkward. I'm glad it was recorded. Some things you're like, I wish I did not film this, but I think just for my own personal safety, it's good to record dates. You never know what will occur. And so, why not? Just include it in the audiobook. It's a fun time. Who knows? And everybody, nobody was harmed in the making of this podcast. Oh, I'm sorry, audiobook that
Right,
I know of.
right. Another awkward interaction with Jerry and Jerry, who took $60 from you. And what did you get for your $60?
Well, I got some audio. I got some audio to put in the book. I got very little things. I will tell you, they were not helpful.
Plenty of
Yes.
arguing for that $60. So that was entertaining.
Yeah, and sometimes the publisher says, "Flula, we need some minutes." And I told him, "Well, listen, I have an argument between two strange people that involves cakes and aliens." They said, "Perfect, great, included."
So recently, you mentioned on the last episode of Boom Time, which is back for at least one
Yeah.
episode,
Yes.
is that you've been taking in, we have you actually been reading books?
Yeah, I have. I like that you ask it as if I have. These are my first books in my life to read. And yes, it's a very fair question. Yeah, I've been reading like lots of more nerdy stuff. I just and not to go dark, but like 2020 is a very dark time. So I've either read really nerdy, serious books, or I have gone and watched old shows that I know where they are ending. So like Breaking Bad.
Nerdy serious books, such as what?
Well, some of them, like one, it was about Reconstruction, this era in American history by this guy Eric Foner. And then I read a book. I'm still. This book is fun. It's a very German title. It's called How to Read a Book, but it is like very nerdy from like the 70s, and it tells you how to read all the different types of books in the world, which I very much enjoyed. And
Really?
yeah, it's really great.
Huh.
It's super nerdy. Yes, it's by Mortimer Adler. And so anyone with the name Mortimer, I'm like, yes, okay, count me in. You must write good books.
Know, I can't help but notice, as many other people have, that you've gained a ton of muscle. I'm really curious about this because you've blown up in many ways with your career since we last spoke and physically. I'm curious about your workout routine, your trainer, and have you been keeping up on that during Corona?
Yeah, so as soon as Corona was arrived, I ordered some very large dumbbells so I can just exercise in my garage. So to maintain these pointless muscles, they were for a film called The Suicide Squad. And yes, but your the trainer is a very strange man named Paolo. He's Italian, very excitable, and Paolo is very insulting, which is perfect for my self-esteem. It really helps me to continue to do crunches and push-ups.
You've gained, I would say close to 20, 25 pounds of pure muscle, no fat. Incredible.
As your Air Force background, I trust your judgment of pounds. I think you are correct. I think this is the right estimation. Yes,
that is really incredible. That really is. And you know, you're not in your 20s, and that makes it even more impressive. I'm actually curious about that film. I'm not going to ask too much about it. I just want to ask you briefly. How do you prepare for a role such as this? I feel as if the costume is something that you would wear on a Tuesday anyway.
Number one, you're absolutely correct. I pitched them some costume ideas. And why did I do this? They sent me my dream outfit. So it's very perfect. I love these colors. I love that I can wear a blonde, you know, a little blonde man is very fun. It reminds me of one of the bad guys from Die Hard. There's like the two brothers. Who are always helping Hans Gruber. And so one of them has hair like this, so that was a very fun dream.
You're a trash.
Yes. E-trash.
And one of them gets killed, and then one guy goes on a rampage after his brother got killed.
That's right. And so I am the one that's rampage. The other guy who's the, you know, now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
That's his brother. So I'm playing. I forgot their names. This is sad. It's a good excuse to watch this movie once more.
Yeah, you need to watch Die Hard again.
Now, my favorite.
How are you with a javelin?
You know, I can tell you in an honest way. So I have some athletic ability I have inherited. So I can learn to be okay at many things and maybe not great at anything. And so I am okay. I can toss items from one location to another. And this now does include a javelin.
And do blondes have more fun?
I can tell you, yes, when those blondes are named Flula and also me, yes.
You've been very busy in other realms of entertainment, too. You've been reading children's books online, which are very popular. You've been on Inside the NBA. I have no idea how you swung that. It was completely out of left field. I don't know why you were on that show, but I'm glad you were. How did that happen? And you're also in a film. You played a small role in She's in Portland with director Mark Carlini.
Yes.
So these are very interesting side projects you're working on, and I'm sure you're working on more. So I'm curious about that film, first of all, and Inside the NBA and those children's books.
Oh, well, thank you. I just spoke with Mark yesterday again. That film was so fun because I love this area as well. Of course, Portland. I forgot. Yes, you are there.
Yes.
Portland and this area of America is my most favorite for many reasons. One is it is the weather of Germany in many ways. Mm-hmm. And so anything to film something that is connected to this, even if this film was like called She's in Portland, but was filmed in like Madagascar, I would still be excited because it says Portland. So that was very fun. The children's books. I just love. Yes. I think there is a nice future.
You're very good
for me
at it.
You're
a natural.
Thank you.
You're a natural.
Oh,
you should be
you.
In classrooms and doing Zoom.
Well, yes. If my career ends in some way, then I know that I will just be zooming into children's classrooms talking about the monkeys. Yeah. That would be very fun. Wait, there was a third thing you did mention to me. I forgot.
Oh, Inside the NBA.
Oh, yes. Okay, so I will tell you. This was my one dream. I have like two dreams in life. One is that Die Hard reboots to a prequel called Hans Gruber, or just Gruber, and I play Gruber. This is my dream. The other dream is that I can be one of the hosts of Inside the NBA. And so I made a video about them, and they found it. It was the dream scenario. I made a video. They found it. They contacted me. So I cannot believe this has happened. It is my highlight of the pandemic. Oh, yes. And my dream is to please be on this show more. It's so wonderful. I love basketball. I'm excited also. I don't know if you are following, but your Blazers are still exciting.
Yes,
and I love following those guys as well. But yes, I love basketball. Yeah.
And how did you actually get involved with, you know, the Suicide Squad and your relationship with James Gunn? I'm curious about that.
I, Well, so I just, in my case, I just auditioned. And so I was very lucky, I can tell you, because Javelin is a German character. So very lucky for me that I am mildly athletic and German and located in Los Angeles. So I was able to audition in this way. And then James and I have we had not met before. We have some mutual friends and acquaintances, and I'm glad that she decided I'm not too insane or strange to work with, and so he allowed me to be in this with him, and I am so pumped.
Do you have a relationship with HBO Max? Because I know you did a bit for them, and Conan's jumping to HBO Max, so I'm excited to maybe see you on HBO Max in the future.
I would, yeah. I mean, I would love this so very much. I'm excited for Conan, and I think this is a very fun move for him. I think this will allow him to do more fun and strange things. And listen, if he or anybody there needs some assistance in strange German Teutonic ways, man, count me in.
Speaking of strange, Ivan and Peter, I am very curious what this is about. They're time traveling DJs. I don't quite understand what this is, but I am enjoying it regardless.
Yeah.
They're DJs that jumped into a rainbow vortex and they jump from different eras. Is that correct? And you're involved with Ivan and Peter. Are you one of these characters? I don't quite get it. I don't quite grasp the concept.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have just outlined how I feel about life. I don't know what this is, but I enjoy it. So that's this is exactly mission accomplished. I am not Ivan. I'm not Peter. But they are very weird people. I still cannot confirm what is going on with those guys. I can confirm to you, though, they make very sassy music.
Nebulous. It's nebulous.
Yeah, it's nebulous. Who knows? It's all in the spaces. But yeah, who knows?
Well, my time's very limited. I do want to wrap it up. But Ed Helms, you had Ed Helms on the show. Another natural for Boom Time.
Well, once more, this is just a hero of mine and a genius person. We worked on a show that he was producing called Flulanthropy some years ago. And I love this man so very much. I wish I could call him by his full name, Eduardo Ron, but he always says, no, it's just Ed. But other than that, I love him.
You've met a lot of your heroes, haven't you?
Well, this has been a very nice, lucky thing for me. Yes, I have met many of them. And Dirk Nowitzki in Dallas, the basketball player. And seriously, I feel very, very lucky about
But
this.
Who's left? Who's left on the bucket list?
Oh, Hans Gruber, but that's impossible because all my other heroes, I think now are like either they have been expired.
Hugh Jackman?
Sure.
He's a song and dance man, so.
Oh, I love a good dancing and a good songing.
More music on the way. Hopefully, you know, something like, you know, Moist Moist Meow Meow in the future.
Yes. So more music coming for me as Flula, more music coming as DJ Flula. And then also, no one knows this yet, but I'm going to be releasing a children's album with some friends. They're called Go Banana Go.
Go Banana Go.
Go Banana Go. Yeah, we made a song together this year. It's called German Lessons, where I teach German very terribly. And then we stared at each other in the face and said, this was very enjoyable. Let's make an album. So that comes out, I want to say, next year in the beginning, maybe February or something. So this is very exciting.
Oh, wow. So more material coming. Oh, that's very exciting.
Oh, we need it. Oh, I need to do it. If I'm not making things, I'm breaking things, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks so much. This was so enjoyable to finally talk to you about this book because, I mean, to release a book in March of 2000.
Yes. Well, and I must say, I apologize to you. I know you've been speaking, I think, with John. Like, it was just a very difficult time, like, to talk about anything at this point. So it was a terrible time to release a book. But I am so grateful you listened to it and that you did enjoy it.
Yes, yes. And hopefully there's a way for you to get out of this Javelin outfit to go pee. I hear this about superhero costumes. It's very difficult to pee in those.
It's like if you've seen the film Demolition Man. It's like you go to the bathroom and there are two seashells. Nobody knows how this works. That's exactly how in these uniforms. How do you pee in this? Nobody knows.
Well, I know the catering's good because you've dished on the catering. I mean, the inside scoop there. Always good for an inside scoop. Thank you so much, Flula. It's so great to talk with you. Really.
Likewise,
you're so accessible. You know, you're getting bigger and bigger. You're becoming a huge name in Hollywood.
Off.
Just to remain very grounded, I think that's how German. So thanks so much. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much. I do not agree with you. I am just a human person. Very excited to be here. So thank you for speaking to me. And dude, what wonderful questions and topics and everything. That was so fun. And shout out to Portland.
Really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Flula.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Flula. And now we're going to switch gears and head on over to the Nines Hotel for an in-person interview with Portland-based musical act Maine. You can catch the band live September 19th at Mississippi Studios in Portland. Let's hear more now from Sam and Jed on the new release, Leo Lib Bull.
Maine, hello. Pleasure to meet you both. Now, this is Sam and Jed. We're here at the Nines Hotel, and we are here legally, and great to connect with you. Just listen to your EP, which is out this Friday. Now, as I understand it, Sam, this was written a couple years back.
It was, yeah. We were just talking about this before we came out here. I think it was spring of 2019, something like that. We had made a record together before.
That is right at the wrong time.
Yeah. You can say that again. We'd made a record before that wasn't going to come out, and we had sort of got together and said, like, let's make something in a finite amount of time. And we gave ourselves, like, you know, 5 days to record it and just made an indie record in our basement.
I'm curious about your backgrounds. I looked at your bios, and I didn't see much there, but I'm curious, you know, were you born and raised in Oregon, or what's your backgrounds?
Yeah, I grew up...
This is Jed, by the way.
Yeah, I grew up in western Pennsylvania in a rural town about 45 minutes north of Pittsburgh, and played music pretty young age, grew up in bands and playing with churches and... Oh, really? Doing the whole punk rock thing.
Churches,
too.
Really?
Yeah. That was, there wasn't, you know, rural towns, so your options are pretty limited in terms of who you can play music with.
Right. And you moved to Portland?
I moved out here in 2009, yeah, on New Year's Eve. And I got here on January 3rd.
Is there a story behind that?
Nah, I was just antsy. I was just impatient. I didn't think there'd be a lot of traffic that day.
Fantastic. And what about you, Sam?
I'm not from Oregon. I'm from Seattle. I was born and raised in, like, metropolitan Seattle. I moved to Oregon, to Portland, to go to school in 2008. So I've been here for about 13 years. I started, just writing songs, playing music as a young kid, mostly doing, you know, solo songwriter stuff, and then eventually joining more bands as I got a little older and more comfortable on stage and playing with other musicians.
Now, Justin Chase is also in the band, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And he's worked with Pure Bathing Culture, who I'm a big fan of.
Oh, they're great. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very influenced by Fleetwood Mac, and I saw a Fleetwood Mac album, I think, in one of your music videos. I think it was surreptitiously placed there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to ask you about your music videos, because they're incredible. They really add so much to the music. It feels like you're in a movie.
Thank you.
And yet there's two videos that tell a story. You worked with Swanson Studio. How'd you get to work with one of the premier studios in the world, Swanson Studio?
Yeah, we got lucky on that one. So my cousin Paul is a director of photography over there, and we grew up together. He's a avid skater and filmmaker, and has now worked at Swanson's for a number of years, but they were kind enough to do both of those videos for us, and
it's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank
My
you.
Only complaint was the first video was too short.
Yeah.
Lot 34, Bath Bomb. That's the first single. I love your voice.
Thank you.
It's hard to pinpoint who your voice sounds like, but it's a very melodic voice. You are you classically trained? You worked a lot on your voice.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I mean, in terms of training, I ended up doing some voice lessons as I got a little bit older, but mostly self-taught. And then recording at home was sort of an informative experience doing in the past few years, sort of doing a lot of demoing at home and actually hearing yourself in the headphones. And
That's the best teacher. That's
it really
how I
is.
Learned.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a singer as well?
Well, singing and presenting are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a voice inflection. It's making your voice interesting. It's guttural. And you just have this very melodic voice. It's very unique in indie, indie realm. And this debut EP is out this Friday. You must be excited.
Yeah, we're stoked. It's a long time coming. Yeah. We sort of waited for the... We sort of held this one close to our chest for a while. It was, it's with the pandemic and everything, it made it made it a little tough to be certain about, you know, when to be putting something out or what was even appropriate. So it feels good to finally have something out
and
there.
And an actual show.
Yeah.
An actual live show coming up at Mississippi Studios, which just reopened. And it's culturally very important, that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good spot. We share an alleyway with Mississippi Studios. We live right in the Mississippi neighborhood.
So it feels like the home. We're the home team. You know?
Yeah.
It's probably the trendiest place to live. So Leo, Lib, Bull. And yeah, again, that first single, incredible. It's far too short and left me wanting more. Linked into the second single, What a Jam and What a Voice. This was shot at Oaks Amusement Park, the video. Very surreal. And the makeup really added another dimension to this song. And I think the best videos add a different element to the song. They make the song better. And do you feel that way? I mean, who did the makeup? Was this improvised? Because this was with the makeup and the amusement park and how beautifully it was shot. It was cinematic.
He had the idea a while ago, and he's like, Sam did, and he was like, you know, I want to do like this weird dark carnival thing, and he saw a place beyond the pines, right? And I just had a hard time like visualizing. He's like, nah, it's gonna be like this. And Swanson really just made that come to life, and he kind of got a crew. Sam got a crew behind it and just kind of employed our friends to do makeup, and we just got to rent an amusement park for the day and kind of actualize that.
Yeah, it ended up being really fun, right? Because you're just...
You kind of have that Viking thing going on.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, pretty
Iceland,
Swedish.
Icelandic.
Yeah. Definitely have some of that Swedish-Norwegian heritage.
Right. This was shot at Oaks Amusement Park, where the fun never ends.
That's right. Yeah, it was a blast. Riding rides all day with your friends, pretty good.
I'm thinking you're big fans of roller skating, correct? Because I keep saying roller skates in these videos.
Yeah, our bassist,
Grace. Very Portland.
Yeah, exactly. Our bassist Grace is kind of into it, so we've just sort of layered that into what we're doing in the video world.
And how involved were you in the direction of the music videos? Were you helping direct? Was that all Swanson Studio? Whose vision was this? A combination of both your elements?
Yeah, I mean, certainly impossible without Swanson Studio. You know, they're you know, super capable and have a bunch of incredible technology behind what they're doing. You know, these ideas were sort of fleshed out by writing Shotless, which I did, and you know, would consult with Jed and the crew about how it was all going to look.
Film noir, David Lynch film. I mean, just
yeah, it's fun. It's
so much playful use of darkness, which I think takes this song to a different space.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the absence of light is actually like a somewhat of an underlying theme on the record itself too. It kind of has a dark heart, and the hope was that you know came across in the video component too.
It's experimental. There's many layers to your music. It really speaks to me. It's very abstract, and there's a complexity to it, and hard to pin you down to a genre. 4D5 demos and a vision. I love how you ended this EP with this track. I didn't know where it was going, and it feels like an epic way to end this.
Yeah, that one's a lot.
It is. There's a lot going on there.
There's a, yeah, but that sort of cacophony at the end was super fun to put together. We had a guest bassist on that track named Matthew Holmes, who's a really good jazz player in town. And
Matthew Holmes.
And then, you know, working with Justin, who's not here today, is always a blessing, because he's sort of a, you know, on top of being the engineer and producer in our project, he's kind of a synthesizer wizard. We can sort of collaborate on a vision, and he has the tools to actualize that stuff.
Right. Now, you have been releasing singles on Bandcamp, exclusively on Bandcamp. That's actually your preferred way for people to purchase the album, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at this point, that's kind of what we're rolling with.
The LP, got to get the vinyl.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
A couple of singles on there, which were not included in the EP. And why is that? This is a Deconstructions, very minimalist song.
Mm-hmm.
Probably has a different feeling, emotion.
Yeah.
From this record.
Definitely. That song sort of predates Leo, Lib, Bull. It was recorded before that record, and it was kind of it's from a batch of songs that was the first thing that we worked on together. I'd say you know, now we have a live band, but we started as a recording project as a way to sort of, you know, actualize songs, not a lot of rules, you know, get the players that we want to play on it, say what we want to say. And that song is a holdover from that time. And, you know, with Catamaran and Portals, which are the other ones that aren't part of Leo Libbull, those were kind of flash in the pans, right? Like, we just recorded those in like 3 days, you know, 2-3 days, where we sort of went into the studio and said, we're going to be done with these in a quick amount of time. And the more I think about it, I feel like we work well that way. You know, sometimes when you're making a record or something, it's a longer ordeal, and it's it takes a lot of focused energy, which is great. But something nice about just popping in there and knowing you have a finite timeline to create, and approaching it like that.
And you're going to be playing a show in Pendleton, Oregon.
What's that? Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for that?
Oh, yeah. We're
going to get your Wranglers out.
Yeah. wear our cowboy hats. Yeah, Pendleton. We played there before, the Great Pacific. This guy, Addison Schulberg, he books it, and I think his parents own it or something like that. But it's really a fun space, actually.
Now, Justin produced the album?
He did, yeah. I think he would list himself as a co-producer, but yeah, he's our engineer and producer, and he works at Jackpot Studios. He's worked with Tucker Martin at Flora Recording.
Not a bad reference.
No, he's. but yeah, we're very lucky to be working with him, and
we have to mention Tucker Martin in pretty much every podcast. now I read that the album was mixed by Jake Vieta of Stone Throw Records. I believe the album was released by Literal Gold Records.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is your label.
Yes. So Jed is actually the label manager at Literal Gold. We, in terms of the mixing of the record, we just sort of reached out to Jake at Stone's Throw, which is a Los Angeles-based hip-hop label. And yeah, Jake was gracious enough to mix that and a couple other songs for us. But yeah, Jed is, you know, spearheading along with Cameron Spees, who you mentioned earlier, this label Literal Gold. I don't know if you want to speak to that, Jen.
Yeah, I mean, this is our second release. Our first release came out in the middle of May, and we're just trying to do it a little differently. We're doing a non-recoupment model, so instead of making everything back and then splitting half with the artist will be making money from dollar one. And as expenses are made back, then the artist can get more and more of a percentage, and so it kind of graduates. So where it gets to a point where if the record blows up, then the artist could be making 60% of the record and the label's making 40%. And so we're really trying to get the actual artist-friendly model up off the ground, and we're kind of guinea pigging it, you know? So far, so good. But
that's fantastic. It's great to hear that. Mood Ring, what a gem. You spent a lot of time getting this right, because once that gem kicks in, it's a tune of the summer, I think. I mean, this is quite the gem. Doing very well on YouTube, too. I mean, did you expect this? What are you thinking?
I don't know. I mean, I think we always kind of knew that was the single. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a really funny demo, which is it's maybe 30 seconds long, and it's out of tune and it sounds really bad. And you can tell we got the idea, and I'm like, all right, we're good. And then when we did it for real 6 months later, it just came together pretty organically. But there is a really funny demo floating around of that one.
Yeah, sometimes we'll go back and check out the, you know, the skeletons in the closet of making these songs and be like, dang, they've changed a lot.
So the construction of that song, how did that happen? Did you come up with the jam first, or it's a tough question to answer.
I think I can remember. So a lot of these started on a laptop in my bedroom upstairs, and I would, you know, share these demos with Jed and Justin, and they would work on them independently. But that song, you know, I think I was feeling like I was kind of into house music. I was listening to a lot of, like...
House is very big in Portland. There's house nights all over the place. What is going on?
I don't know, but just this sort of this four-on-the-floor energy, you know, or even the artist Porches, who's more of a pop artist now, I guess. But and I just remember, you know, using the drum pad to hit that four on the floor feeling, and then just sort of writing off of the kick drum, you know. And sometimes you start a song on the guitar or on a melodic instrument, but sometimes you're trying to capture a feeling through a rhythm. I feel like that's kind of where that song keyed off, and it's really, when I think about the arrangement, there's not that many instruments going on all at once. It's actually, you know, when we play it live with the five of us, those, you know, five pairs of hands seem to cover, you know, most of the basses, which is interesting, because that's not true on necessarily the other songs on the CP. But we're working on a record. We're close. I would say we're maybe 85% of the way there on a full length. We went into the studio this winter and wrapped a bunch of tracks. We probably wrote 20 or 22 songs over the course of the pandemic. And so we demoed maybe 16 or 17 of them, and we're fleshing out maybe 12 or 13 of them right now. So we'll be wrapping a record
that
soon.
That'll be done soon then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you can find that on your Bandcamp and connect with you on your website, on Insta, that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely Instagram. Spotify is great.
What are you the most active on?
Definitely Twitter. Instagram.
I'm a Twitter guy.
Instagram, yeah.
I'm a Twitter guy.
Yeah, he runs the Twitter. I'm on the Instagram. Those are probably the best places to find us. But yeah, our music is on any place that you find music. Your Spotify, your Bandcamp, your SoundCloud, all that kind of stuff.
Fantastic. Looking forward to the Mississippi Studio Show.
Yeah, appreciate it.
One of the first shows we'll be able to get to see in 2 years.
Wow.
Man is a very special project, and it's really intrigued me lyrically, musically, and what jams. Beautiful voice. I love listening to this record. It's challenging, too. It's a very unusual project, and thank you for chatting with us today, and I'm looking forward to more in the future.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to the Portland Podcast. I'm your host, Gregory Day. If you'd like to contact me directly, you can reach me at greg@pdxpodcast.com. Feel free to complain about the sporadic release of new episodes. I try my best, but we are still going 5-6 years on. We'll be back with a brand new show very shortly. See you then.